We're talking about the inner man and outward man, the model of how I believe we should see ourselves in God, and why it's so important for us to understand some of these truths. If you're like me, you've kind of figured out that we're sadly lacking in the church world, in our own life, to walk like Jesus walked. And either you lower the standard of Scripture and say, well, I just am who I am. I'm not that important. I'm not valuable to the kingdom of God, or as valuable as other people. So therefore, I don't have to do those things, or God doesn't desire for me to lay hands on the sick and see them all recover every time. That's for other people. Or you decide, no, the Word of God is for me as much as it is for anyone else. And there's a standard there that says I can walk as Jesus walked, not just in miracles, but in His love, His compassion, His peace, His holiness. And that seems to be an impossible standard. And in our natural man, you'll find out it is impossible, that we'll fail every time trying, attempting to act like Jesus without becoming like Jesus. And that's why I believe the model of the inner man and outward man is so important, because it shows that you were given an inner man that's fully complete and capable of growing and maturing the same way Jesus did. And from that place, you can walk in all that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. That's one of the first things I learned that really helped me, was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's Acts 10:38. And it was the Holy Spirit that did the works, not Jesus. Jesus didn't heal the sick. It was the Holy Spirit through the man Jesus. In other words, Jesus was the authority. The Holy Spirit was the power. The Holy Spirit's always the power. You and I are never the power source of miracles or signs and wonders. It's always God, the Holy Spirit. But He needs a place of authority to work through. And Jesus was the authority when He was on the earth that the Holy Spirit worked through. Not when He was young, not when He was immature, when He was older and stepping into His calling. Jesus was the authority. So Jesus never really healed the sick, technically. It was the Holy Spirit through the man Jesus, the authority that Jesus held. And that authority is the love of God. We're going to go after this lessons, this series, I'm going to do another series on authority, on where the real authority of God is found. And is found in the love of Christ that's developed in you. Well, Jesus was the authority. The Holy Spirit was the power. So now, with Jesus on the right hand of God as a person, you are the authority as a Christian. You are the authority that the Holy Spirit has to work through. So when we pray for something and it doesn't happen, it's never God's fault if it's in the Word of God. Healing is always the will of God. Deliverance is always the will of God. Provision is always the will of God. And so when we hit a situation where we lack holiness, is always the will of God. I need to throw that in there. When we run into a situation in our life where we hit a wall, a ceiling, where every attempt we have, every thing we want to do to try to be like Jesus, we fall short. And see, what a carnal religion does, carnal Christianity, it says you just need to offer God something to make Him happy with you, and He'll overlook your weaknesses. And so we become a church of giving things to God in a way of giving a deity something as an offering to say, hey, will you still accept me because of what I did, of what I do, then you can overlook my shortcomings. But the walk of the Spirit, the inner man's, our man version says, God wants you to become like Jesus. Now, if you try and attempt to do it in your outward man, meaning I'm choosing to be like Jesus. Today I'm choosing to think like Jesus. I'm choosing to act like Jesus. When we would pray for people and we fell short of seeing the miracle, we've seen a lot of good miracles, but when it came down to real difficult things, we didn't see them. And first we were told, well, you just don't believe, and that you need to have you need to walk in authority. So you get louder and bolder. You need to be bold. So you just start dragging people out of their wheelchairs, thinking, well, I don't care what people think about me. Get up and walk. The word says you're healed. And we end up doing more destruction than good in those times, all trying, attempting to do the word of God, to be like Jesus says I can be. So from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Now, the word transformed tells us that there is a process that's necessary for you to become all that God wants for you to be. God has a plan for you, a purpose from His mind for you. It's been assigned to you since before you were born. He met you in your mother's womb, placed a calling on you, and said, "When you find me and are born again, then we'll begin to establish you in that calling." And now that you're born again, God has things for you to do, much more than just giving your money to the church, going to church. I hope you're past a lot of that boringness of, I just go to church, I give my money, I tell people about Jesus, I serve, and then I do it again. That kind of carnal Christianity is okay, but it'll eat up your whole life. And years down the road, you'll find out that you really haven't become more of what God wants you to do. Many people attempt to accomplish in their own ability. You know, God told me to go and win a nation. So they begin to rally people. Let's all go together. Let's work together as a team. And since a team, 1,000 people together, cannot see one blind eye open, they end up thinking of other strategic ways to win over the nation. We'll do good works. We'll take doctors over there. We'll build wells. And all those are good. I'd hope you don't get me wrong, because God's pleased with all the work that's done in His name. But for you as an individual and for me personally, I know there's more and I want more. And so when He says here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. What the Lord spoke to me was, I did not tell my church to conform into Christianity. In other words, I didn't tell my church to act like Jesus, to form their life to be like Jesus. I told my church to transform. Transformation is a miracle. It's a miracle that God has for you every single day that's available for you to transform into who He has planned for you to be, who He made your inner man to be. It won't happen just by being a good person. It won't happen just by attending church. You have to step into transformation. But there is a path, a beautiful, incredible, miracle path for each of His children. That's you, where you can stop living the way you are, stop living and being held back by your limitations, and supernaturally, by the spirit man, the inner man, grow and develop and become like Jesus. Instead of talking about Jesus, instead of talking about the love of Jesus, you will display that love of Jesus. And the word transformation means it's not by choice. I can't choose to love like Jesus. Now, we all start at a place. We're born again. We read the Word of God. We see that we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to live holy. So, absolutely, you begin in that action of saying, the Word of God says, I am a child of God. Holiness is who I am. Righteousness is who I am. Blessed is who I am. Healed is who I am. So then you begin to choose every day to act like that in faith, that that's where I'm going. I might as well decide to do it now. If you're fighting holiness, you might as well decide There'll never be a day, never in your life, that God's going to say, oh, it's okay to sin. It's okay. I know what you went through. It's okay for you to sin. It's okay for you to act that way. You'll never hear that from God. Thank God for His mercy and His grace when we stumble and fail. But most Christians live that kind of world of stumbling and failing. Just recently, not too long ago, there was a famous TV preacher who was accused of being in sin, and he told his church, I didn't do that, but even if I did, the blood of Christ would forgive me. And I don't question that he did or didn't do anything as much as that philosophy of the blood of Christ would forgive me. There's two ways you look at that. You either look at it like you've accepted that I am the way I am with my bad desires, wrong desires, sinful desires, and this is who I am. And when I sin, I just wash it with the blood every day. Pastor Dave said that would be, Dave Robertson said that would be like taking a thing called a forgiveness pill in your backpack when you go out for the weekend to go get drunk and party and sin, that you have your pill for Sunday morning to take and say, I'm forgiven, I'm washed by the blood. That's not at all of what the mercy of God is for. It's for when you are struggling and fighting to pursue holiness and you find yourself short and weak, then you repent, you change, and you thank Him for the blood. You wash yourself and then cleanse yourself by that mercy and grace of God. That mercy and grace of God will never stop. And so I don't even think like some of those guys when they say, yeah, just every day to say, I'm cleansed by the blood. And I think it comes from an idea. This is how I heard it. When you stand before God, He's only look for one thing on you. Only one thing He's going to look for you to go to heaven. And that is the blood of Christ. You better have that blood on you. And so we were taught early on that you needed to repent and plead the blood twice a day. And taught that if you were a good Christian and tithed and did everything good, and then you died on the way home after you cussed out a guy who cut you off, or after you had a bad thought, and that was unrepentive, and then you died, you would not have the blood covering that sin. You would go to hell. You couldn't enter into heaven. And it was an idea that, it's like an Old Testament idea, that the way in the temple they would bring the lamb every day, twice a day, a lamb was slain for Israel to kind of a constant covering of the blood over Israel as a nation. And so it kind of makes you into a I don't know what the word is, I like the carnal Christian idea, but into a religious relationship with God where you do whatever you want, but you just plead the blood and offer Him things to cover your sins and accept you the way you are. The idea of transformation is God, I think Gary says, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He loves you just the way you are, but He also loves you too much to leave you there. There is a path for you, and let me say it this way. There's an assignment for you to walk this earth just like Jesus walked this earth. Not talking about your calling. I'm talking about you as a believer. There is an assignment from God for you, an expectation, a hopeful expectation that all of His children would be like Jesus on the earth, not in His divinity, but in His love, in His holiness, in His compassion, in His obedience, that you and I, every believer, irregardless of our position in the church work, would walk, act like Jesus. So we would be the authority that the Holy Spirit could work through to do the miracles that He did through Jesus. See, and when you understand that, you think, oh, me? No, never me. I'm too much of a mess, if you only knew. My goodness. Well, that's because you need to look at yourself the way God looks at you. He birthed you as an inner man, with an inner man fully capable of growing and maturing to be just like Jesus. your inner man came into existence the same way Jesus did. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And I know I feel like a broken record sometimes, just, you know, continuing to go through the same picture. But really, until you get it, this is my assignment. I may do this the rest of my life, because until we get it, I haven't done my job yet. We got a lot of great preachers preaching all from the foundation of praying the Holy Ghost, the walk of the Spirit. And God's assigned us different areas to, God's given us different revelations to focus on. This is mine. Look over here in Ephesians 4. I'll start in verse 22 so you can see the picture. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So here we see a picture of an old man that is growing corrupt, and we are to put that old man off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, so we got to put something on and we take something off. You have to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So your new man, I call that the inner man. I call the old man the outward man that's perishing day by day. And the new man is the inner man, which is being renewed as we seek God. Now, let's go back to Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want you to allow me in the next number of lessons to teach you the way I interpret the renewing of the mind. Okay, I believe that's this inner man being renewed, not fixing my thinking, but changing where I think from. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So transformed is a metamorphosis, a metamorphoso, I think it's pronounced. Well, I'm sure it's not pronounced quite like that, but my pronouncement. It's a Greek word that we get the same metamorphosis that a butterfly, a caterpillar goes through to be a butterfly. So clearly, as the instructions from God, you're not born again fully complete. You have to transform. There's another, after salvation, there's another job for you to do if you want to do more on this earth than just make it to heaven. If all you ever want to do is just get to heaven, then when you go to heaven, it's not the blood of Jesus that he's going to look for. He's going to look for the nature of Christ in you. What qualifies you to enter into heaven is only one thing, that you have that righteousness, that new nature in you. That is a seed of righteousness. If you have that, you're a child of God, and now you can enter into heaven. If you only want to get to heaven, that's all you need to do is get born again and stay born again. But if you want to be used of God and participate in the kingdom of God on this earth, beyond just going to church and giving your money, serving a little bit, you want to walk in what God has for you, you're going to have to transform. See, transformation tells us the picture is that when you're born again, you are born again as a child of God, but it's kind of like a caterpillar, that you are in the caterpillar stage of your Christianity. And before you can ever walk into all the promises of God, you have to transform. See, transformation is when you go from one form into another. In Christianity, it is actually from one species to another species. Much more in depth than just a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. But we'll stick with that because we can all see that picture. That a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A caterpillar cannot choose to soar above the treetops. It can't because it doesn't have wings. So a caterpillar can talk about the promises. And this is how I feel the carnal Christianity is. A lot of people going to heaven, they have caterpillar conferences, all talking about the promises of where God's going to, what God wants to do. They sell t-shirts with wings on it. We're going to fly. We're caterpillars. We're made to fly. And they're all quoting and confessing, standing on these promises, selling t-shirts. Some are told, well, you just need to have faith. That's all. You just don't believe that you can fly. So go ahead and have faith. Be bold. You got to be bold. Step out. Believe the word. Stand on the word and step out. And I remember in my early years, I was 19 years old, just starting really going to church. And we had an evangelist come through and preach about faith. And if you really believed God, you would throw away your medication. Back in those days, you know, a lot of people could get away with that kind of preaching. Just throw away your medication. Stand in faith. Have faith. Be bold. And I don't doubt there's times God will have you do things like that, but it's Him telling you, not you trying to do the Word of God. And so I'll never forget, because I was 19 and the report was one of the ladies in the church took it seriously, that if I throw away my medication that's keeping me alive, then that is faith. That's me believing the word and God will heal me. And they found her dead the next couple days. And of course, that preacher had moved on to another city, so there was no accountability in that. And so there is a transformation process that we need to look at and study. How then do I transform? See, can a caterpillar choose to fly? No, a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. It cannot say, I make up my mind, I can fly, the promises are that I can fly, I'm going to fly. See, when it uses that word transformation, it means that you have to go through a process of transformation before you can ever fly. A caterpillar cannot choose to fly, but what a caterpillar can do is choose to make a cocoon, go into that cocoon and metamorphosize and transform, restructure who it is into a butterfly. And when it breaks out of that cocoon, it'll have wings. And so it's very natural for it to fly because it transformed. Well, this is the path that we're on, the path of the Spirit, walk of the Spirit, I believe, a path of seeking God, pursuing God into that place of worship, that place of praying in tongues, of studying, confessing the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, that's a cocoon that allows us to transform and become like Jesus, not just choose to act like Jesus. We've all been there ourselves and experienced other people where they act like Jesus. I'm going to help you. I want to serve you. I'm going to love on you. Oh, I love you in Jesus' name. And they're the nicest, most genuine people until you do something wrong or even you do something they don't like. You make a choice they don't agree with. And then they get this mean look and all of a sudden they're not nice anymore. It's like, wait, that's the devil. You got a devil. No, they don't have a devil. They just haven't transformed. They were acting like Jesus until they got tired of acting like Jesus. And then the real them came out. So this transformation is a process that takes place. Look over here in Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. See, the armor of light is not an exterior armor you put on by faith. It is the armor of holiness. It's the armor of Christ's characteristics that you bring forward out of your new nature and place it in your inner man. Let's put on the armor of light. So when you're born again, you don't automatically have the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So we are to put on Jesus Christ. That's talking to a believer. We have to put on Jesus Christ, meaning you don't have Jesus Christ on you the moment you're saved. You're not wearing the armor of light on you the moment you're saved. You must put him on, his characteristics. It must come forward. And I'm going to continue to show it to you in this inner man, outer man picture, that your inner man, the moment you were saved, you received the nature of Christ. It's a small seed, but it's what generates your righteousness, makes you righteous. Instantly, you are righteous because you have that new nature. And it brought to life your inner man. And that's kind of what I want to try to get to today, is this picture of an inner man. The way you see that transformation will be the way you decide how you live. A lot of believers, spiritual believers who are hungry to be used of God, have a philosophy that I am already complete in Christ and I just have to accept who I am. And it's funny because the only way they can live with themselves and hold on to that doctrine that I'm complete in Christ, I just have to have faith and accept who I am, is they have to lower the standards of what God does through them so they can live with themselves and hold on to that idea. Because if it was Jesus standing in front of a crippled child, that crippled child is healed. If it's Jesus in front of a wheelchair, that wheelchair is empty. If it's Jesus in front of a person with no eyes and no hands, they're maimed or made whole. And yet there's people who hold fast to that idea. I'm complete. I just have to choose to walk it out, accept who I am. And they avoid the wheelchairs. They avoid the real broken people because they don't see the results as if it was Jesus. So the only way they can preach that is if they've lowered the standard or they're being dishonest. Because if you're truly honest, you realize that falls short very quickly. That falls short really quickly. The idea that everyone is complete, you just have to yield over to it and believe. It's good preaching, but it avoids transformation. And when you don't have the fruit, then shouldn't you be seeking a different way? Shouldn't you be preaching a different message? If you're honest, you are. I don't mean to bark about that too much. Let's go over to Luke 16. Now, the moment you're saved, you want to go to the Word of God and find out what a Christian looks like. A Christian is one who loves their neighbor. A Christian is one who chooses holiness. So you might as well accept it now that there's no lesser, you're not allowed to have a lesser walk. That God expects from you and I both to love like Jesus loved, to be holy like Jesus is holy. So we start to choose those actions and confront the desires in ourselves to be unholy. But when we do, we find out there's a problem. I'm struggling. Why am I struggling to love like Jesus loved? I can love very much. But after they rip me off four times, you know, I know 70 times seven is God's standard of forgiving someone. But hey, I'll let you rip me off two, three times and that's it. I'm done. The bank is closed. I fall very short as Alan in the 70 times 7 category of forgiveness. Well, what do I do then when I'm struggling with things like forgiveness and lacking in love, in walking in the blessings of God and the healing of God, in performing a ministry of signs and wonders where every person gets healed every single time like Jesus did? Well, I begin to think, what is in the way? What am I struggling with? Even though I'm choosing, I want to be like Jesus. What do I do to get there? We have to put on Jesus. The image of Christ is already in you, in that new nature, but it must come forward. So today I want to try to tackle, and I've gone off course a little bit, so hopefully we can get there. Luke 16, verse 19, I want to ask you, to decide, what does the inner man look like? Because we have that words. Hold your finger there. Oh, you don't have to turn. I'll turn there. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So here, Paul gives us a picture of an inner man that's being renewed day by day and an outward man that is perishing. That is a model of you. And so how do you see that? And so because there's so many versions out there, I'm just preaching my version. Many people feel their inner man is like a little glowing light. Some people feel the inner man is their inner heart of how they feel about life. And there's so many different versions out there. But I want to ask you some questions. In this picture that Jesus explained about a man going to hell, two men going to hell, one to paradise, part of hell, the other to the hot part of hell. We see that in the afterlife, they have a inner body. Okay, so some people feel the inner body is just my hand. Like they say, the outward man is like the outward body is like a glove, and the inner body is like a hand inside the glove. And so, is your inner man just a body? No thoughts, no emotions, no desires. Is your outward man just your body, just like a glove, just sits there, does whatever, it follows instructions? Or does your inner man have a mind and emotions? And does your outward man have a mind and emotions? A place of mind and emotions. Pastor Dave taught it that the inner man was inside of the outward man, and cell for cell, they're connected. That God created Adam to be into both worlds, where he said he saw like a natural DNA, but also right with it was a spiritual DNA alongside with it. That was in the makeup of mankind. That every human born has an inner man and an outward man developing together in perfect unity. A mind in the spirit, mind in the natural in perfect unity. Emotions, you could say, this is how I teach it, emotions in the spirit and in the natural in perfect unity. And the physical body, hands and feet are tied in perfectly. But then when you got born again, your inner man came to life and your outward man was left in darkness. Now, this is where I want to ask you to consider and think about these questions. Does your inner man have a mind, a place to hold knowledge? Or is that in your outward man? How does that look to you? Here we can see in Luke 16, verse 19, there's a certain rich man who's clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. So we see here in this story that Jesus is talking about that both men have now died and their bodies, their natural bodies, are on the earth. Now, this is before Jesus was glorified. So no one could go to heaven yet because Jesus was not glorified. So the poor man he qualified for heaven, but he had to be held in Abraham's bosom. And that's the place he went to. And there was a space in between this beautiful paradise that held all the Old Testament people who qualified for heaven and the hot, fiery place of hell. And so it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he, in the afterlife, not born again, he's in hell, the hot part of hell, and he looks over into Abraham's bosom and he sees with his eyes. So you know he has eyes after you're dead. So we know from this the inner man has eyes. maybe saying, Alan, I get it, but I want you to ask. I want to ask you these questions for you to agree or disagree. From this picture, does the inner man have eyes? Because the outer man is on the earth being buried, and there's eyes there too. So which is it? Does God just give you a new inner man, or was that inner man always there? So the inner man has eyes, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off. So he recognized. And Lazarus in his bosom, he recognized Lazarus. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And if you haven't heard Pastor Dave teach on this, you need to. It's so funny. You know, maybe we don't have arms and legs, just a tongue and a fingertip and eyeballs. But obviously, we can assume that the whole body is there. Fingers, toes, eyes, you recognize each other, and tongue, he's talking. So we know that the afterlife, we're not just ghosts, clouds floating around, that we actually have an inner body in the afterlife. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the finger of his in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and you're tormented. Now, we also see here, and I remember Pastor Dave saying in one of his messages, oh, there's a soul in there. Meaning that in the inner man, there is the capacity to think and feel in the inner man. We would call that a soul, but a place to think and feel. What is a soul? Mind, will, and emotions. And so here we can see this man's has a will not to be in Hades. We can see he's feeling tormented. He's having emotions of torment. See, there's feelings there in that inner man. And I'm saying all this because when we go back to 2 Corinthians and read that we have an inner man that is being renewed day by day and an outward man that's perishing, that gives us a glimpse of what happened when you were born again. That God put his nature in your inner man and brought it to life, where now it has the ability to think and feel from a born-again righteous position. In other words, when you see this picture of inner man and outward man, how do you see it? The way I see it is that when I was born again, I was given an inner man, that my inner man, which was always there, was in perfect unity with the outward man, now is not in perfect unity. Now there is a fight because my inner man was born again. God is the father of my inner man. My inner man has a mind, ability to hold information, and has emotions. In heaven, your loved ones that are in heaven right now, do you think they're standing around emotionless, thoughtless? What do they look like? Are they little dots floating around, or what do they look like in heaven? Little ghosts or clouds? The pictures here in the Word, they're standing there in heaven with emotions of great joy and celebration and happiness and an intellect where they can understand God, talk to God, recognize their loved ones in the afterlife. Well, but I had a funeral and we displayed the body and their eyes were there, their hands were there. It's like the joke I say when someone dies and the mortician calls the lady and says, ma'am, I really have some bad news for you. What's worse? My husband just died. Well, I did the autopsy and we both go to the same church, so we believe your husband's in heaven. But when I did the autopsy, I found his brain was still in his skull. And so I'm afraid he went to heaven with no brain. So your husband is in heaven brainless right now. and even almost as worse is his hands are still here. So I don't know how he's going to lift up holy hands and worship God in heaven. And see, the picture is you have, every person has an inner man, and the inner man lives for eternity. We have an outward man that is of this earth. The outward man has a mind and set of emotions, a soul that's of this earth, chemically based. The inner man has a mind and emotions of spiritual material. Now, when you were born again, that's the picture of the inner man and outward man. Your inner man was brought to life, like reborn, meaning it was always there, but God quickened it like he did the new nature, but it's not complete. And by being complete, I mean it's immature. It's like a newborn baby, Peter says. And it has to develop in knowledge, but it has the ability to grow in the knowledge of God. And that's the holding place of the knowledge of God. And we're going to get into more details. But I want to get you to decide, either way, you're the caretaker of your understanding. Is your inner man that you're wearing, does it have a place of intellect and a place of emotions and desires that's been born of God? Are you fully, completely a child of God? Or did God only birth whatever? The inner man was just the light, and now you have to change who you are using the material you had before? Or do you actually have, are you completely born again, a new creature, but still wearing the outward man? If you see this the way that God showed me, the way I see it, it opens up the scripture to understand, wow, I'm not trying to fix my outward man because it's unfixable. I'm trying to mortify the outward man, not the physical body. The physical body is the temple. In other words, it's the outer court of the inner court. The inner court is a picture of the inner man. The outward court is a picture of your physical body. We don't want to harm our physical body. We want our physical body healthy and obedient. But there's something else in that physical body that you have to wrestle with to mortify, and that is the soul, the mind, emotions, and desires of the outward man. And you have both of those. You can either live your whole life thinking and feeling out of that carnal mind, trying to follow God, or you can begin to transform. As your inner man grows and matures, you can transform yourself to thinking, feeling, and living out of your inner man. The inner man has to grow first. It's not automatic. So that's a picture I want you to think about, to chew on. It's why I believe the model of inner man and outward man is superior to the model of I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That's okay. Most Christians live by that model. But I feel it's not as accurate as I have an inner man that's born of God, a God that must grow, an inner man that's completely from God, birthed from God, that must grow, and I'm wearing the outward man of my family, of Adam. And that's who I am diminishing. Whereas the spirit, soul, and body picture says, my spirit's been saved, but now I have to fix my soul to make it, wrestle it, to make it think like God, act like God, to be like Jesus. And so let's put on Christ. Let's put ourselves on this path of transformation. Whether you see it the way I see it is irrelevant, as long as you're praying in tongues and worshiping God and meditating the Word of God, confessing the Word, you're going to see transformation take place. Thank you again for spending time with me. I love you, and I'm excited about this next part that I'm going to be teaching. We're going to get into fine detail about this picture of inner man and outward man. Amen. I appreciate you. God bless you.